You're listening to the Legacy Church podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Yeah! You know, I think it would just be appropriate. Could you just indulge me and we stand one more time and just offer thanks to the Lord? I'd love to pray. And I'd love just to say thank you, God. Would you just join me all over this place and just even in your own way for a moment, just say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for the people that you're rescuing. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that are changed. Thank you, God, for the kids that have been impacted. Lord, over 1,100 kids, Lord, have received ministry over since the doors of this church have been opened. God, over 11,000 people walked through the doors. Over that year and several months' time, God, that have heard the gospel presented, God, thank you for that. Pray that that word would just bear fruit in lives, God. It would go out from this place. Thank you for allowing us to partner with you in this, God. We don't want to go forward, Lord, until we thank you for what you've done behind us. We just want to say thank you today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Thanks for praying with me. Yeah, come on, let's give it up to the Lord. You may be seated. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you. Well, it is Vision Sunday, and the book of Habakkuk. Somebody say Habakkuk. There you go. Yeah, I know, it's back. You say it way back here. Habakkuk is one of the books in the Bible, and it says these words. It says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Kind of a little bit of Yoda language there, kind of backward, but you get the message is, make it simple so that when people hear it, they can take off with it and run. Make it simple, make it plain. So I want to do two things today. I want to share a plain vision that's plain, and then I want to encourage you to run with it. Because vision is important. In fact, there's another book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs 29, it says these words, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. There's another translation of that that says the people perish, or they wander in circles sort of aimlessly. And so we need vision in our lives. We need direction in our lives. In fact, Webster has some great things to say about vision. Two definitions that I want to jump on is the faculty or state of being able to see. The state of being able to see. Well, we get that one. The second the definition says this. The ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. To plan the future with imagination and wisdom. I read both of those and I thought, what if we put those together and it sounds something like this. The ability to see and imagine a better future. In fact, it's better stated like this. In Christ, we have the ability with vision to see and imagine a better future. Anybody good with that definition? To see and imagine a better future. That in Christ, vision fuels the hope that there's a better future. In Christ, vision fuels the expectation that there's more. In Christ, vision allows us to imagine beyond present circumstances to see a different future. Sometimes the present circumstances can be a little bit tough. Anybody with me? Sometimes we need a little vision to get beyond what I'm seeing right now. And my hope today is to impart and to plant some vision that makes you go, okay, I can deal with that. I can take that somewhere. I can build my life on that. That's what vision does. You can run with it. Jesus, I think, was a master vision caster. I said that. That's a little bit of a rhyme there for you, just to show you I got some rhyme in me. But I think Jesus was a master at casting vision. In fact, John 4:35 says this. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? He was speaking to farmers agrarian crowd was gathered, agricultural people who knew the land. Yeah, isn't it 4 months and then comes the harvest? That's what you guys talk about all the time, he was saying. But I'm telling you, look, open your eyes, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. He's talking about a harvest of souls. He's talking about people finding Christ. He's talking about people finding hope. And I want to tell you something, Legacy. We're believing in this next chapter is going to be a season of harvest. We're believing that God would open our eyes to see that there are people that are without hope that are going to find hope in Jesus' name. Anybody with me on that? That's vision. Jesus was casting vision. It's time to wake. He's saying, wake up. Wake up. We got to see it. There's another section of scripture where Jesus casts some pretty awesome vision. In fact, it was post-resurrection. Jesus is meeting with the disciples in Galilee on a mountain. And he traveled. It's kind of the culmination of 3 years of ministry to this moment. He's just about to ascend into heaven, and he's got some last words. How many of you know last words are important? When somebody speaks some last words, you want to kind of lean in and make sure you catch what they're going to say. It's a culmination of 3 years of the disciples watching Jesus in different contexts, working with different people from different ethnicities to social outcasts, to diseased lepers, to demoniacs, to the blind, to the lame, to children, to the religious, to seeking people. I mean, over all this time, they got to be on mission with Jesus and watch him up close. And here's the thing I want you to get. He was setting a precedent. I think he was setting a precedent on that day, and the precedent is this, that legacies are not written in one-time moments. Legacies are written by relationships over time. Do you see that? Legacies are not written in one-time moments, but legacies are written by relationships over time, not just in a one-time moment, relationships over time. So here's the passage. Here's the last words that he shared with them. It said, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And that should make somebody shout, hallelujah, right there. That's a good shouting point. Been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. At the end of this service today, we're going to be baptizing. And in fact, if you're in this service today and you're thinking, you know, I've accepted Christ as my Lord, and I've never taken that next step and have never been water baptized. And if you want to make that step, I want to tell you something. You may not be prepared. You may not have come ready to get your hair wet, but we're ready for you. So at the end of this service, like maybe, you know, I don't know, like about, let's say about quarter to noon, 10 to 12, you can slip out and go over toward the bathroom areas there. We've got people waiting, and they'll get you clothes and get you everything you need to make that happen today. I say, here's what I say, why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you say, you know what, I'm all in? That's what it means. I want to die to the old self. I want to come up new in Christ. It's an outward expression of an inward work that God is doing. And I say, come on, let's do that on Vision Sunday. Be awesome. So Jesus said, go and make disciples to all nations. And I imagine the disciples heard that and went, like, they had no context for going global. They had no context for going into all the world, like reaching all the nations. They didn't go, oh yeah, okay, we'll get that done. It's like, it was way bigger, way above what they could even imagine or think. That's what vision does. In fact, Jesus said in the same conversation, though in the book of Acts, he says these words, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me. Go ahead and say it with me. Everywhere. Telling people about me where? Everywhere. Thank you, four of you. Telling people about me where? Everywhere. There we go. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and it to the ends of the earth. Group participation, by the way, is welcome here at Legacy Church. God bless you. Don't leave me up here all by myself. Thank you. It's going to happen, he said, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to empower you. When he comes, your worldview is going to explode. He's like, this is vision. You can't see it now. You have no idea how you're going to get it done. But trust me, when you have the Holy Spirit, it's going to blow your mind what I'm going to do. I'm going to empower you to take this to the ends of the earth. I want to tell you something, Legacy Church. When God lays a vision on your heart, when he lays it on your heart, something that he wants you to do, and all of a sudden you discover, let me put it this way, you discover the reason why he puts you on the planet. Because how many know he puts you here for eternal purposes? It's not just like, okay, 75 years and out, peace out. No, there's an eternal purpose that God placed in your heart. When you find that, I'm telling you, that's an exciting day. But you may find that, you may discover that and go, wow, I have no idea how I'm going to accomplish that. And I believe today it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think those disciples that day were walking away kind of scratching their head like, I don't know how this is going to happen. Because rarely does Jesus give us vision for something we can do in our own strength. See, some of us want vision we can do in our own strength. I call that manageable vision. Lord God, I pray for vision today. Just make sure I can manage it. I want to make sure I can keep it in my control. I can keep my hand, keep it right here between the lines. Some of us live our lives that way. I tell you what, I say, you know what, God, just blow my mind today. Give me vision beyond what I think I can imagine, think, or even ask for. Jesus was a visionary. He said to his disciples, go and make disciples. I want you to see a better future for the people around you. I want you to take what you've seen me do and do more of that. It was like a divine and holy transference. He was saying, you've seen me do it. Now it's the ball's in your court. I'm passing the baton. It's you now. Start local, start close, family, friends, and then work out to the region, work out beyond that, and then just go global. And some of you, God's laid on your heart a global vision. And you're going, man, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do that. But you're trusting him. I know Kiana is praying. She's getting ready to go global on a missions trip to the uttermost parts of the world. Who knows where God is going to send her, but she's going to do some training at YWAM. And we're going to support that. We're going to believe God for that because God's beginning to lay a vision. Can't see it all. Don't know how it all is going to happen. Don't know where all the resources are coming. But she's saying, I'm just willing to believe God for it. Just willing to believe God for it. That's vision. So today, here's what I want to do. I want to piggyback off of what Jesus is saying here because I believe that if he stated this vision in Scripture, that it's still applicable today. In other words, I can still apply and make this work out in my life today. I can still make this. So I'm going to draw from his playbook here. And that idea of going and making disciples, but I want to say it another way, and this is point one of Vision Sunday. Ready? Write this down. I want to rewrite futures for generations to come. I want to join Jesus by rewriting futures for generations to come. That's another way of saying the Great Commission, of going and making disciples. I want to go help people rewrite their futures. I want to go find people whose future looks bleak. The trajectory of their life is heading in the wrong way. I want to go and I want to introduce hope to them. I want to help them rewrite a better future. Jesus is saying, go and do it the way you saw me do it. And remember, watch this, remember that legacies aren't written in a one-time moment. Legacies are written by relationships over time. It's often not just a one-off moment, but it's over time. Paul picked up on this theme in Philippians. He said, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you've watched my life. You've heard my teachings. Now just keep putting that into practice. Keep doing that. Keep working that muscle. Keep working that into your life. Go do that. Do more of that. I love the thought of Jesus sitting around a campfire with his disciples. And it would have been awesome. Just, Lord, let me just be a fly on the wall. Let me be a moth near the flame of that conversation that was going on when you were just reminiscing some of the stories of how you rewrote some futures for people. You can imagine Jesus saying, do you remember Bartimaeus? You guys remember what happened when Bartimaeus was shouting out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you remember what happened? Oh, yeah, I remember. The people were trying to quiet him down, but he just kept yelling all the louder. And you called him out. You called him over to you and touched his eyes, and you healed him. You rewrote his future. It was looking bleak. You guys remember? Remember that lady? Remember that lady was thrown in front of us that day? Just a bed sheet covering her body. And they were pointing an accusing finger at her. Do you remember? The tabloid said the adulterous woman. Do you remember? But yet I called her that day. I called her something else. I called her redeemed. Do you remember that? I rewrote the script of her life. I rewrote the script of her life to say something different. I rewrote the future of her life. Do you remember when we fed the 5,000? Oh, do we remember we fed the 5,000? We wanted to send them away. We were tired. No, 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 no. You said, you feed them. Well, we didn't have anything to feed them. But we saw what happened. All we gave you was the fish and the loaves, and we passed that out in baskets. Jesus said, yeah, I know. I know how that played out. Do you imagine their futures that were rewritten in the minds and hearts of everybody in that crowd that knows now that I am the God who takes very little and can make much out of it? Do you remember that? Now they're going home thinking, anyone who thinks throughout time, that they only have a little bit, or their talent is too small, or they can't, or God really can't do much with little, are going to think differently now when they reflect on that story, on that account. You guys remember that? We rewrote some futures. We rewrote some futures together. That would have been an awesome conversation to be a part of. Why? Because legacies are not written in a one-time moment. They're written by relationships over time. When we launched Legacy Church, it was October of 2017. We felt we couldn't plant a church that was for the already convinced exclusively. That God was calling us to plant a church that had its eyes on the community and the region and the world. Somebody said these words to me. I'm just going to quote exactly what said. Do you know churches are planted in Legacy Church? Or Legacy Church. In Liberty Lake. Churches are planted in Liberty Lake to die. Churches die in Liberty Lake. That's what they said. And there was this little bit of boldness. It was probably a lot of boldness. In that moment, I said, well, thank you for that encouraging word, first of all. Secondly, I think Jesus was familiar and acquainted with graveyards. He knows how to handle graveyards. I just felt that little, come on. We're not going to just, oh, really? Oh, really? Well, we better find another place where they'll welcome. You know what I'm saying? What? Something ought to rise up in us and say, good. That's where we're going to go then. Yeah. We're going to go to the graveyard. And we're going to believe Jesus speaks life to dead things. Come on, somebody ought to say something. Yeah. We felt like God was saying, you need to go to and plant a church with arrows out, not arrows in. And that's a fight. I'm going to tell you something. That's a fight. Churches, and I've been around a church for a while in different places, different cities, and the tendency is always to start looking inward. Am I comfortable? Is this good for me? Am I being fed? And we got to keep pushing the arrows out into the community. Felt like the Lord gave me a sense. We still lived in Hayden at the time, and we were praying about coming over, doing a lot of journaling, writing, praying before we made the Western Trail from Hayden to Liberty Lake. That we wanted to make a local impact, that Liberty Lake would know we were here, not because we're something, but because Jesus is something. Local impact with a regional reach, Spokane Valley and beyond, that divider, oh, there's an emotional barrier between, you know what, Jesus, he doesn't look at emotional barriers. That God's placed us here to reach both sides of that barrier. So regional reach and a global impact to the uttermost parts of the world. So we decided on the name Legacy Church. Legacy Church. You can't be called Legacy Church and create a fellowship that's all about us. You can't leave a legacy if you're just focused on the big I, right? We can't do that. You leave a legacy by considering who's coming behind. You leave a legacy by planning for the people yet to be reached, by planning on and praying for the people that aren't in the room yet. So we got some folks, our launch team, in a living room in Coeur d'Alene, and we began to pray, Lord, we want vision. Give us vision. Give us vision. And we came out of these meetings with a vision statement that just simply says the first point of this message, rewriting futures for generations to come. That's what we want to do. We want to rewrite. We want to join Jesus and rewrite futures for generations to come. It's just another way of saying, go and make disciples, right? We want to see the trajectory of people's lives changed. People that are, if we just leave them alone and we forget about them, they're on a pathway that might lead them to destruction, that might lead them away from hope, because the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. So God, help us to run in and bump into those people so that we can show them something different. We can show them a different path. And there's a lot of responsibility with that statement, rewriting futures, because honestly, it's way over our heads. Because we can't change anybody's future. We just can't do it. Only Jesus can change a future. But when I read the pages of Scripture, account after account after account after account after, oh, he's changed. Oh, he's different. Oh, he'll never be the same. Oh, that guy. Oh, that woman. Oh, that. On and on and on and on and on. And then he says to us, now you guys go do the same. Go do the same. Go do the same. He chooses to partner with us. He chooses to allow us to be part of the story. Why? Because legacies are not written in one moment, but they're written by relationships over time. Over time. So the second part of our vision statement just simply says, creating opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. Creating opportunities. For legacy, this simply is the what. We never have to ask the question, with a statement like that, we never have to ask the question, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be creating opportunities. We are supposed to be creating opportunities, that the culture of legacy would be to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways, to create opportunities in the daily. I like the way Paul says it in the book of Romans. Watch this. He says, this is the Message paraphrase, which is awesome. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So just get that picture. Your ordinary lives. Okay, God, I just give you my life today as an offering. My life today. Embracing, he says, what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and what? And what? And quickly respond to it. Quickly respond. In other words, taking personal ownership. Taking personal ownership. If you were wondering what's the punchline of the message, it's probably those three words right there. Taking personal ownership to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. See, we learned a valuable lesson. We're still learning that the tendency of church, of establishing a church, is that the leadership team goes away on like November, right? And they're thinking about the next year. And we get about, you know, 5-6 people in a room, and we plan the calendar for the next year. You got to plan. You got to stay out front. You got to do all that. But we also plan the outreaches. So here's what we're going to do is outreach church. And we put them all on the calendar, right? Like, and then we go to the church and here's what we're going to do as a church. Let's go win the city for God on these 4 days. Anybody with me? And so I think when Jesus cast the vision to the disciples, he wasn't casting an organizational vision. I think it would impact the organization, but he was casting a personal vision. He was saying, you go, you all go, and let's rewrite futures together. Let's go together and create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. You and go into the highways in your everyday, Paul's a bit, in your everyday, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, in your everyday, ordinary, walking around life. I love that. Take personal ownership. I think when the church does this well, when we take personal ownership, all the other efforts will be impacted. All the other, we'll call them parachurch ministries that are powerfully going on out there will be powerfully impacted by a church that takes personal ownership, by people that take personal ownership. So in review, rewriting futures by creating opportunities, I want to leave us with an account that Jesus shared that you would know, you don't even have to be around the church very long or just starting out in the journey, probably heard somewhere along the line, Good Samaritan, maybe by referencing a hospital, Good Sam, but the story of the Good Samaritan. In this account, there are some keys. There are some keys to rewriting futures that I think are powerful. They're cues for us. A light ought to just go on and go, oh, okay. There was an expert in religious law that asked Jesus a question, and it was a question to test Jesus. He asked him the question, how do I inherit eternal life? So you there, teacher man, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered, well, what does the scripture say? You're the expert. What does the scripture say? He had the right answer, right? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, right, ding, 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 ding. You go do that and you're going to live. Do that and you will live. To which the man retorted, who is my neighbor? To which Jesus responded with a story. I love that. Who's my neighbor? Glad you asked. I got a story for you. And he began to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. He said, yeah, there was a Jewish man who was beat up, left for dead on the side of the road. And a priest came by, saw him lying there, and crossed the street and went by him because it wasn't on the church calendar. I added that part. Went by. A temple assistant saw the man, was coming along behind, and saw the man lying there and crossed the street and went by him because there's already ministries out there for those kind of people that are really hurting, right? I'm sure there's ministries for those kind of people that are hurting like that and kept walking. Jesus then introduces the hero of the story, which is a little twist because a Jewish man, a proud Jewish man, would think we're going to be the hero of this story. And it wasn't. It was the despised person, the despised ethnicity that would be the hero of this story. Jesus said, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn and where he took care of him. And the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say, Jesus pauses in the story, which of these three neighbors of these three, would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits, Jesus asked. And the expert in religious law replied, the one who showed him mercy, of course. And Jesus said, yes. Now you go and do the same. You go and do the same. What's the vision for legacy? Jesus is inviting us to rewrite futures, to change the script of people's lives, or the trajectory, again, of someone who's hurting and broken can be changed, can be altered. I want to give you some thoughts from this, the cues that are in this account as we prepare to baptize. I want to say the first one, how do I partner with Jesus to rewrite futures? Number one, write this down. I got to feel something. Got to feel something. The Bible says that the despised Samaritan felt compassion. Compassion is the combination of co and passion, of with, and passion is suffering. So walking with somebody in their suffering, he felt something. So let me ask you a couple quick questions. When was the last time you felt something? When was the last time you felt compassion? I know I'm talking about feelings here. Feelings are lousy leaders. I get all that. Feelings, you can't trust your feelings. But feelings also help us discern when someone's in trouble. Feelings empowered by the Holy Spirit help us discern when somebody needs encouragement or a lifeline or just a break. Just give the guy a break. I'm not talking about guilt. I'm not talking about coercion, strong arming you. It's just feeling compassion. That moment where I felt the need to enter into their suffering and walk with them. I'm convinced if we walk past long enough, we stop feeling. If we walk past our neighbors, drive past our neighbor, in and out of our neighborhood long enough, and there's no feeling, God forbid, Jesus says, I need to find somebody else who can feel something. Let me give you the second one. Rewriting futures means I get involved. I get involved. I feel something and I get involved. It says of the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, says these words, going over to him. So going over, he saw the man at going over to him, which could be translated today as, and so he saw it going across the street. Oh, there she is again out in her yard. And going across, going over to the next cubicle, going into the break room. Rewriting futures means I get involved. I enter the story of people around me. The Samaritan soothed the wounds, bandaged, put him on his horse. One of the keys to rewriting futures is I have to get involved. I got to walk alongside of. Why? Because legacies are not written in a one-time moment. Legacies are written by relationships over time. To get involved. Feel something. Compassion. I get involved. Step into their story. Thirdly, I invest. I invest. I invest time, resource, of my treasure. I love that the despised Samaritan got the guy to the room, right? Paid for the hotel expense. And before he left, he went to the innkeeper and said, hey, listen, for any overages and caring for him, just let me know. Keep track. When I come back, I'll take care of that as well. What does investing look like for us? I think it could mean something as simple as baking brownies for the neighbor that I see across the street. Could mean inviting them to dinner. Could be inviting someone out to coffee. We purchased a coffee cart. Now watch this. I didn't say this in the first service. We purchased a coffee cart because we want to get into schools and want to serve coffee to teachers. And we still want to do that. We want to, for our first responders, find ways to do that. But it impacts so few people, right? We're going to go serve coffee. Four people, you know, which is about all you can handle to serve coffee. Only one person making, two other people say hello and do that. But then we started thinking, well, you know what? How many teachers are impacted by parents in this room? that your kids' teachers, right? How many parents would be represented? How many teachers would be represented in this room? And what would happen if you purchased them a cup of coffee? Like your kid walked into school. I don't know, my mom said to give this to you. Or invited them out for a cup of coffee. Just meet them. Thank you. Give them a coffee card. How many of you think, yeah, something like that, like giving a coffee card to a teacher might be a kind of a cool idea? How many of you would do that? If you had a coffee card, you'd give like that to your teacher. You'd do that? I'm going to give you a coffee card. I came ready to give out some coffee cards today. Anybody else like would like to meet with or just give a coffee card or maybe buy a coffee? Look at now, it's like, oh, okay, I'm not going to raise my hand now. Come on. Yeah, right here. Yeah. All right. Come on. Yeah. These inside these cards, they say, it has the words rewriting futures. Because sometimes it's a coffee. Hey, let's go grab coffee. You're making such an impact in my kid's life. Can we just grab coffee? I'd love to just hear how you do it. What makes you such a great teacher? Or you know what? You don't have to. It's not have to be about like I'm gonna witness to you. No, it's just building relationship, telling story, sharing story. Just a simple thing to do that, you know, it's I got to invest. Let me give you the last one. Feel something, get involved, invest. The last one is invite. And by the way, that coffee card could be used for your neighbor. However you feel like you could just rewrite some, just beginning the journey would be awesome. However God leads you to use that. The last one is I invite. The question was asked, which was the neighbor? Jesus asked the man, and he said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, yeah, you go and do. Yes, go and do the same. Here's what I want to say in closing under this point. That Jesus asked this simple question. It's the one who showed mercy. It's the one who showed mercy. And I got to thinking that I don't know of any greater mercy that we could offer or show to our friends or family than to introduce them to Jesus. To give them an opportunity to respond to the hope of salvation. I can't think of a better place for people to find this hope than in a Bible-believing, God-fearing, people-loving church community. And so here's what I promise as lead pastor of Legacy Church. We don't get this right all the time, and we don't say this is the way to do church. It's a way. It's a way, and we're still learning. But here's what my promise to you is. Those who are building community and reaching people, and just I want you to know we pray for your unsafe friends. We don't even know who they are, but we just pray for them. We pray for lost people who don't know. We're praying for your friends and family and community. I want you to also know that we plan for them. We prepare for them. We have meetings, meeting after meeting after meeting, that sometimes it's just too many meetings. But we ask this question every week. What went right? We talk about this service. What went right? What went wrong? What was awkward? What was missing? That's a very spiritual exercise that we do. I want you to know that. Because we're thinking about your friends. We're thinking about the people that you want to invite into this space. We want them to feel like it's a place where they can just come and examine the claims of Christ and come and just experience his presence, the band. How many think the band has just been what a blessing? Yeah, yeah. They work hard. They rehearse. Our parking lot attendants, our greeters, all the kids' ministry. We prepare. So we pray, we prepare, and we want to create a place for them. Place to see their futures rewritten. future's rewritten. When you came in today, you should have received a pen. And I just am a believer. So you got to have something tangible in your hand. And it says on it, rewriting futures, legacy church, rewriting futures. And all this pen symbolizes this, and we're going to pray in just a few moments. It symbolizes, I want to join Jesus and rewrite futures for generations to come. I want to take personal ownership. I'll take personal ownership. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, go out into my ordinary day-to-day life like mine, yours and mine, our lives. We just out there beyond the four walls and say, Jesus, however you can use me today to help and begin the journey of rewriting somebody's future. It might be a conversation. It might be coffee. Hey, why don't we go to coffee like every other week? Just have coffee. Yeah. Just tell a story. I want to hear your story, hear your life, and get to know you. Just beginning that journey. Trusting God. So we made these pens. You can just take them and put them someplace where it can just remind you to pray. Join Jesus in that. In fact, let's bow together right now and just pray to that end. Jesus, we hold this pen in our hands, God, knowing that the pen, there's no power in the pen. But I know I need to be reminded, God. I know I forget. I know I walk out and drive out of my drive, out of my neighborhood, out of my community, Lord, where I pass people. And I hold this pen, Lord, saying, I am here. We are here. This place exists to rewrite futures, to go and make disciples, to change the script. So help us to do that, Lord. I know there's some amazing organizations represented in this church that are doing amazing things beyond these four walls. And God, we will support and we'll do whatever we can, missions organizations around the world. But God, we recognize this is not an organizational move, but a personal move, movement. So help us. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.